right, did folks, you know? Welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast, The Jaybird.
Steve.
Tighten up, baby.
Titan madness.
Folks, I'm just going to say it. I cannot believe it. We have crushed literally the record for the most musky baits sold in a day. We crushed the record for the most musky baits sold in an hour. Jay, you can attest, and we have the stuff here. We sold 1,000 Titans in 50 minutes, Jay.
53 minutes, I think it was.
53, boys.
Yeah.
We have sold thousands of these things, and if it wasn't for the podcasters, it wouldn't have happened. Your old buddy Steve, your old chum Steve, your old Palerino Steve thanks you from the bottom of his cold, callous, dead heart for the support. No, I mean it for real. Like, it's awesome. I saw so many names that have written questions to the podcast, written things to the podcast that bought Titans, and I appreciate it. And the one thing I'll say is this, is like my email, my phone, my text, everything has been blown up this week with people asking about the Titans and literally people in the industry calling about the Titans. Jay, you know that. Yeah. Just people going, what is going on?
Yeah, I've been hearing the same thing. Something else.
It's literally record-breaking. Jim Stewart at the Muskie Shop will tell you, and Jay, I'm not talking out of school here. If I am, just tell me. The biggest single day at the Muskie Shop ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, well, I've been there longer than he has.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tom's been there a few years more than I have, even. I've
never
been there 24
like
years. Most ever. Yep.
I am.
Incredible.
Quickest selling musky bait of all times. It's nuts. And I can't thank you guys enough. We've sold thousands of these things. There are so many of them. I can't tell you exactly how many and all this stuff. We got a handful. It's Friday night at 8 o'clock. Just got off the water. We got a handful of shimmer sheds left. They're going to be gone in a second. It's just been nuts. We thought we had them counted right, and then we found more, so the more are up and all this stuff. It's nutty, dudes. Mm-hmm. It's nutty. And I can't thank you enough, because I told JJ, what did I say? I said, we'll probably sell like 500 of these things in a week.
Realistic goal, if you think about it, you know.
Nothing,
when it comes to, you know,
I'm right. I mean this, and folks, if you've emailed me, I've tried to reply to you. If you've texted, I've tried to reply. I am humbled. I am your eternal servant, trying to give you as much musky information as I can from the eyes of a guide that spends thousands of hours on the water. That's all I'm trying to do. It meant the world to me, because you guys came out and supported the shit out of me, and it was awesome. It was awesome. And the one thing I'll say is this. The people in the industry have been like, well, you know, what's going to happen with the bait? So these things are about to catch the living shit out of fish.
That's the coolest
part.
That's
the one thing. I don't.
All these people are happy they're getting their bait and that they got a chance to get one. And hopefully they got a chance to get a color they wanted to really go with.
Yeah.
Or two or three or five. I bought five of them, by the way.
Thanks.
And you're welcome. And replacement tails also. Mm-hmm.
And they're going to catch fish on
them.
Jay.
They are going to catch a lot of fish on them.
Dudes, I'll say this. We'll talk more in Diving Rise stuff. I went on my Titan tirade last week, but I'll say this. There are, and I'm humbled, and Jay, you know this. We've been talking for the last few days about it. I really appreciate it. And guys, you got to realize Muskie 360 podcast is hands down the biggest podcast in the sport of muskie fishing. Muskie 360 is the biggest publication in the sport of muskie fishing. Muskie Shop is the biggest store in the sport of muskie fishing. Me and Jay get approached by people with products and services all the time. We do not talk about shit we don't believe in. Period. Do we, Jay? No. I mean, like, so
there's been a lot of oddball things that have come our
whether,
way, I guess you could say it, that we've said, no, I don't think that's right.
No, we had
for
a,
us,
it,
you know.
It ain't about money. I ain't making shit off this. So I'm humbled that you guys took a gamble on the baits. I will say this. You guys are going to score some fish. We'll talk about it. If you're like figuring out how to fish the Titans, you want to know what to do with the Titans, let me know. Send me a message. I'll answer it. Make it dive, make it rise, make it dive, make it rise, musky on the end after a little bit of time. And that's going to be the trick. Like you were saying, Jay, it's just like we appreciate, because you guys helped this bait because we're not doing that sellout shit. We're not whoring baits every week. And like, whether it be me and Jay have had a Pepsi company approach, we've had razor companies. We've had, if you can think about it in the musky world,
well, right. Whether yeah, it be if a like, guy comes at you, Steve, and he says, you know, we got a hot new chainsaw, and it's just like, you know, okay, we're going to have a chainsaw sponsor.
Literally.
No, I don't think that's going to work. Sorry.
No, no sponsors, no bullshit. That's it. You
funny,
know,
funny stuff.
I love it. So you guys, like I said, we appreciate the hell out of it. Cause you know what? We got a cool thing going on here at the podcast. I appreciate all my friends at the podcast. We talk, we message, we text, we talk every week. We talk and it's one sided conversation, but no, like I said, the proof's going to be in the net this year with these things. That's what I'm excited about. Cause not one time, like that's what I was getting at. I'm sorry. Yep. I'm a little befuddled. My thing was like, this is like, all these people want to sponsor the podcast, want us to do all this bullshit. And I would be like, well, you know, I'm sitting there going, man, we can talk about the Titans because you guys are going to kick some serious ass on them this summer. Period. Done. It's happening. It's going to happen. I love it. Thank you so much. Jay, I got some big news. Big okay. News here. So, okay, did a thing.
I'm ready.
Did a thing. Did a bad thing. I promised to give away some Titan prototypes.
That's right.
So.
Have you drawn up a winner?
What I did is the illustrious Jody Michael. Now, some dude called Jody this week. It's freaking hilarious.
Really?
He doesn't know. He's a podcaster. I was in the other room. And he's
oh,
like,
boy.
It's funny as shit. He's like, trying to get his order done. He's like, hey. I don't know what he sounded like. Is he, hey, is this Jody Michael? She's like, yeah. And Jody's like, my wife is just so just like, Jody's a pragmatist. As crazy as I am, you have to have a pragmatist in the equation. And she's the most no bullshit person I've ever met. And she's like, no, my name's Jody, but I know what you're talking about. You know? And they're like doing this. And he was trying to call in a Titan order like that morning.
Oh, okay.
And it killed me. I freaking laughed my ass off. He's like, they finished up the order. He's like, thank you. And she's being sweet or whatever. And blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
And he goes, hey, you put any more kayak fishing videos? And I died. It was funny.
I knew it.
It was funny because the epic explosions, kayak adventures.
Yeah. For those that don't know, she started her own YouTube channel a year ago. And it's that one video where she's kayaking. It's called funny. Jody's Kayak Adventures.
And it was funny as shit because we talked about it in the podcast. I was like, Jody just did this podcast or this freaking kayak fishing adventures. And we talked about it and she goes, why do I have 1,000 views? It's my wife fishing in a freaking kayak catching crappie the size of the palm of your hand. It's like you guys blew it up. It's the funniest shit ever. But
that's what I always think when I make videos. It's like that that commercial I get a kick out of where the guy goes, that it's like an insurance commercial or whatever, and the guy says, this video is going to get tens of views.
She did that. You know. It was really funny. She did that video because it was just, she asked me, hey, can I steal one of your GoPros? Yeah. And she just wanted to show my mom, like, where she was kayak fishing. That was it. It was really sweet. And me and Jay screwed it up. But,
well, and no, it's actually kind of captivating in a way. It's you get drawn into it. There's something, I guess, there's other videos like in out there that I don't tune into, but it's actually kind of enjoyable.
It just cracked me up. But so the dude that mentioned that killed me. So yeah, if you call Muskie Shop Guide Service, just ask for Jody Michael. That's
awesome. she'll help you out. She's sweet.
Anyway, goodness. Back to Titan stuff. Tighten up.
It's getting tight in here. We had everything packed in the corner the other day, and I came up to Tom, and I mean, we had this assembly line for processing.
That
I mean,
was
Tom
crazy,
was,
yeah.
Yeah, everyone that had one or two Titans on their order only.
DJ Tommy Fresh.
Could That's the guy, Steve, could go in one padded envelope. So they were taking it, and they had this process going in there. But everything was jammed in this back room, kind of where your birthday pinata is, you know, where the nets are, for those that have been in the Muskie Shop.
We should clarify
that. If
you walk in the net room.
The net room.
There is a pinata, and that is Steve's birthday Muskie pinata.
Never been hit.
I couldn't do it.
No.
Couldn't do it. If it was,
beautiful.
Jay, if it's a Northern Pike pinata, beat the shit out of it.
Yeah, true.
Muskie pinata, can't do it.
Okay, I'm going to finish now. So anyway, I walk in this room, and it's just bad. There's Titans. There's a big table of Titans and all the colors we could get in there at the time. And then we're refilling them. And these two guys are packing and everyone's picking. And, you know, we had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of orders come in an hour.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I kind of squeezed in there. I said, Tom, it's getting kind of tight in here.
Yeah, that was my dad joke, funniest moment of the day.
Now,
guys, I will say this. We've been getting emails already from people that have already gotten their Titans. Jim at the Muskie Shop, we knew we were going to sell some, and it's going to get crazy, and like I said, excited to have them in people's hands. They had a system worked out, and it just all hell broke loose.
It was crazy.
Crazy. Orders are just... they're just hammering in. Jim and everybody went ballistic. But a lot of people, if you guys are like close, you've gotten your Titans already, where I was getting pictures back, and I like seeing the pictures of you guys with your Titans and all that stuff. But we're about to talk about the handmade Steve Paul Titans.
The original wood ones, sure.
So there's just a tiny little batch of those.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did is, that's how I got on the topic, Jody Michael. She went through all the emails, believe it or not. It took her forever. She printed them off. We literally drew them just to make it fair. So,
okay.
You ready? And what I'm going to do, my email inbox is going to hate me for this. Ugh. Next week, I'm going to do another custom Titan giveaway.
Oh, cool.
So, I didn't do one. We had so many. My inbox was so trashed. Like I told Jay, when I woke up that next morning, my email was just devastated. Like I still haven't read them all. I've tried to reply to all of you guys. Please, my goodness, if I didn't reply to you, please don't take offense. I had like 600 emails in 30 minutes. So anyway, Gregory of Richmond, Minnesota. You got one, buddy. Headed your way. Did a second one. Heather W. of Ashland, Wisconsin. Headed your way.
Nice.
So there's two of them. There are two different colors you guys have never seen before in there. Gonna do another one next week. We'll do a deal for that. So with that being said, we'll wrap up Titan Talk 2022 here shortly. So there is like... Again, it's Friday at 8 o'clock. There's just a smattering, and I'm talking like they counted them, and we had the count was this and the count was that. We got just a smattering of Titans left. Okay, we got thousands upon thousands of these things. There are, I think, when we looked, what, Jay, 23 left
remaining.
Yeah, it's silly.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's like a couple dozen. So they'll be gone soon.
If you want one, get them now. If you think you only got one, you need two. I don't care. I'm not trying to sell you, but there's like literally just a tiny morsel of them left as far as Friday at what time is it? I'm looking at my phone, 8:30 Eastern. So if you need them, get your hands on them. We're going to do a contest for another proto next week. We'll figure out what the contest is after I have some more Pepsis or something.
Very cool.
Just because I appreciate the hell of it. So the next batch of Titans will be coming your way, hopefully by July. Can't promise. Yes. Best case scenario, we're going to have them before the bash.
No, I hope so.
If you like them, you love them, you want some more of them, they have the sign-ups. If you get the Titan listing, you can do the notify thing. Like if you didn't get a car you like, which was nuts. I mean, we're talking when we bought these things, dude, like brought them into the Muskie shop, we're talking there wasn't 10 per color. There's 100 big numbers is what I'll say. And like midnight and some of these things, it went crazy. So if you want some of the cars you didn't get or whatever, just sign up on that because you'll get a heads up when they come back in. We will not pound it as hard next time. This is not the Titan podcast, but I'm humbled. But get over there and sign up for whatever cars you did not get. Speaking of cars, Jay, you do not know this. In between this batch of Titans and the next batch of Titans, right? Working on a batch of Ultra Customs.
I'm game for that. Sounds good.
So I talked to Jim Belaya, the Tube Screamer himself. We're going to work up some Ultra Customs, which some will be hand-painted by me. Some will probably be hand-painted by Ben from Spitfire. Ben is listening, and he didn't know that, but you've been drafted. Welcome to Vietnam, bitch. You've been drafted, Ben. I love Ben. Ben and me are really good friends, and he just got drafted. Frickin', I'm just going to play Fortunate Son and fly around his his house in a helicopter.
Hey, did you hear about that unbelievably massive West Virginia muskie caught?
I did. Heard rumor.
What is the story on that deal?
Well, Jay, what I did is I figured, you know what? Being from West Virginia, I know the terrain, right? Much like sure. I was just talking about Vietnam. You got to know your terrain. So what I figured we have the massive, I'm talking hundreds of millions of dollars for the Muskie 360 news budget, right?
Yeah.
Eat your heart out, Rupert Murdoch. So, sent a field reporter. What do you think?
Oh, I want to hear the real story. Talk to me.
Yeah, here it goes.
Let's hear it. Muskie 360 News. All the latest breaking news from the world of muskie fishing.
This is your Muskie 360 field reporter, Ricky fucking Bobo. I've been walking over West by God, Virginia, my sick crocs, and I can't find no damn fish. Ain't no damn fish in that Bumsville either. I did set a new state record for misdemeanor assault. This is your Muskie 360 field reporter, Ricky Bobo, signing off. Come on, out of them damn minutes on my track phone. Yay!
That was probably the worst reporting I've ever heard.
Jay, the news budget here at the app is probably about $7.
Okay.
So
okay.
That's what you get.
It was overestimated before, is what
it
you're
was,
telling me.
It was, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You know, it feels better to say hundreds of million dollars, but we probably now after that report have like $6.
Okay.
But Ricky Bobo is the only thing we can afford. It is what it is, dude. It is what it is. what are you gonna do? No, dude, there was a monster caught at Burnsville. Congratulations, it's Luke King. If you guys haven't seen that fish, it's a Studalunjo.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Just impressive. So we don't crawl too much up on records and stuff like that, but check it out. It's a super cool fish. Anyway, Jay, we have sucked royally on Q&A.
They're lagging behind with all the stuff that's been going on, that's for sure.
All that stuff. So we're going to get to it. Zach, I fish in northern Maine.
Ooh.
Purchased a whole bunch of musky baits, but despite days and days on the water, unfortunately, I've only caught one musky. I almost always fish solo in the St. John's River. Sometimes I think, given my lack of experience, I'm trying too many baits, and that perhaps I should just bring two or three in the boat and fish the hell out of them. What do you recommend for spring musky baits if you're going to narrow it down to three baits in the boat? I am the most boring bait dude in the world. I like keeping it at a couple baits. So, spring musky baits, I don't know crap about Maine, not going to lie, but muskies are muskies. Booker.
Well, you're pretty close to the Arctic Circle up there, so.
Yeah. Zach, congratulations on being Canadian. I mean, it's the same shit, though. I mean, if I'm
talking spring, I mean, yeah. I mean, you're going to have a jerkbait or two in there without question.
jerk bait, crank bait, small blade. So let's go spring. I really like a French blade in the spring, which is the Meps. What, Jay?
Yeah, musky killer.
Yeah. They make a French, right? Still?
It's a French blade. Yeah.
Okay. Well, they make a willow killer or whatever, but
that's the giant killer.
Giant. Yep. Oh, you're right. Ooh.
That's dang. Frosty's favorite. Al Frost.
So Meps musky killer, you say, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the, if I'm going to go just like basic spring, I mean, I black and nickel, come on, or white and nickel.
Yeah, black nickel, brown gold, you know.
And then
something kind of forage looking.
Then the other trick, I'm definitely going to be looking at slammer.
Yep.
Is a five or a, it's a five, right? Or a four.
The five's the little guy now. That's that new, yeah.
That's going to be good. Jerk bait, so. Shameless plug. Kidding.
Titan
or shallow dog. Because it's kind of goofy. Jerk baits work year round. I don't freaking know. You can be fishing like bass sized rattle traps and a jerk bait, and they'll hit the jerk bait. So that would be my take there. I like the idea though, dude. If you're struggling on a body of water, really like tone it down, right? Don't make it about switching baits. Make it about fishing spots the appropriate way. So
in the appropriate way. Well said.
Another thing is this though, with a jerk bait, we could also be remiss and Titan happy or something like that, or bulldog happy. Little glider. I mean, I don't think there's a body of water you can't catch a muskie on a hell puppy, hellhound on it. So either, you know, blades, crank, small glide, small jerk, your pick. One of the two. All right. Next one. The goat. Yo, kids, love the podcat. Meow, Jay.
Meow.
Just wanted to tell you, I put in my. Okay. I still don't pre-screen these folks.
No, I can tell.
Love the podcat. Just wanted to tell you, I put in the length and girth of my wiener on the weight calculator in the app. It weighs 0.01. Do you think the big girls will love it? Jay, what do you think?
That's inappropriate.
But what do you think?
Content. Asking the wrong person, you probably want to, you know, ask, I don't know who, really, to be honest with you.
I think they'll love it. Next up, Adam. Funny shit.
Where's that guy from?
Freaking, I don't know. It's funny.
It's hard to say.
Oh, God. I can't even. Like the girth
calculator. Are you still rolling right now?
Yeah, I am.
Are we rolling? Okay.
We are. It's so stupid, but that's funny.
Sometimes I never know.
Oh my God. I'm leaving it in. That's funny, dude. If somebody doesn't like that, get a sense of humor. Adam, notice the new Titan lures has EBS technology. I don't think Steve touched on that in last week's Titan episode on the podcast. Can you explain how it works? Can it be adjusted?
What makes it turn on?
Bought two. I noticed one made noise without getting it wet. Thought I couldn't replicate again. Well, the other hasn't been noise yet. What's up with that? Blah, 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 blah. How do you do this? How do you do that?
I got a good one later. Go ahead.
So the Livingston shtick is EBS, right?
Yep.
It's a good
electronic baitfish sounds.
The bait was $29.99 because it's made by Livingston. And I was able to get it down. It's part of the deal, folks. I have nothing against EBS. Not in love with it. Don't hate it. Either way, I'm neutral. Now, this winter, I have kicked sack on the pounder, as you guys have heard. I notice on really, and I'm talking on the slowest of crap, slow days, worst day you can think of, the baits that were not fished that long. And when I say fished long, I'm talking like 17 days straight, and the EBS wears out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. once they started stopped emitting that sound, they were getting less attention than the ones that were doing it slow. Here's my deal on EBS. Dive and rise baits like the Titan, it's perfect because that bait's at rest and it might give off a little bit more vibration while it's rising from the EBS, because sound is not sound underwater, it's vibration. So it gives off a vibration while it's not really doing anything. Does it hurt? Does it help? More on that later. I mean, the hooks are loud, right? So it happens. I like it on my pounders and on my cranks. On the Titans, I've caught it on wood prototypes. I've caught them on, we had 3D printed prototype Titans that didn't have EBS. I've had plastic prototypes that didn't have EBS. I've caught fish. I've had full-fledged production ones like the ones you guys bought that have EBS. It doesn't make a hill of beans in my mind. Does it help on the upswing when this thing's floating up?
Yeah, right.
Can't hurt.
It can't hurt.
Just noise. Anyway, Jordan, I'm still laughing about that guy's length, girth, ratio. It's freaking. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. Freaking professional. Professional podcast. Jay, tell them where they can find you on the internet. www.www.w.w.
That's correct.
I've heard about these show callers before. Do they do wonders for you there, Jay?
Oh, do they?
That's amazing, Jay. Do tell. Sometimes when I'm in my quiet place in my basement shipping baits, I think about www.www. Anyway. Oh, sometimes I sell baits from my basement. Hello, good people of the podcast. I was wondering if you could wish my best buddy and loyal follower of the podcast, Andy Taylor, a happy birthday. His birthday is today, March 23rd. Also, I have a prior obligation on July 16th. Is it possible to move the Muskie Shot Bash to a date that works better for me? Let's call Jim and ask. What do you say, Jim?
Let's do it right now.
Call him.
Okay. Hold on.
Hey, Andy Taylor, happy birthday.
Heard your call right now, so you're live. Can you guys hear me?
Hey.
Yes.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah. Hi, how's it going?
We got a guy named Jordan. He says, hello, good people. I was wondering if you could wish my best friend, Andy Taylor, a happy birthday, which we already did, right? Jordan has a prior obligation on July 16th for the Muskie Shot Bash. He wants to know if we can move that around his schedule to make it work better for him. What do you think?
It's going to be pretty hard to move that bash, man.
Jordan,
wishing the best birthdays of all time, but that's going to be hard to move.
Jordan,
but
you can't say, we can't say we didn't try. Jim.
We did try.
Next up, Charlie. I suck at glide baits. I overthink them. What should I do? Go, Jim.
Ask Stephen Paul. The man can work a bait like none other. I've heard him on last week's podcast, and everything I heard about that Titan is unbelievable. I can't wait to try it myself. I would ask you.
Oh, goodness. So, well,
you've watched Steve work glide
baits. Absolutely.
We won a tournament with Steve working glide baits.
Yeah, that's true. I guess.
True.
Yeah.
Anyway, other than that, GM also too. Can I ask you this next question? I need your opinion on this, right?
Yeah.
This guy said he put himself. I won't say what part of his body, but he put himself in the weight and length calculator on the app, right?
Okay.
And it came out to 0.01 pounds. Do you think the big girls will love it?
No.
Okay, fair enough, Jim. Thank you very much.
Folks, great sharing some time with you, streamer.
That was the last time you ever see Titans at the Muskie Shop. I'm fired now, everyone. Thank you very much. Jay, as much as I appreciate Jim's input on the bump board question, I just didn't feel like it was really authoritative.
Let's get another expert on the line.
Get an expert on here.
Let's call Fred.
Call Fred. Fred!
Hey, Fred, you there?
I'm here, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good, Fred. Pretty good. I got a podcast question I just couldn't answer.
Right? Okay.
Here you go. Says, love the podcast. Fred, please meow. Like a cat.
Meow.
Wonderful.
Pretty good.
Not nice. Bad. He said, just wanted to tell you I put my length and girth of my wiener on the weight calculator on the app, and it weighs 0.01 pounds. Do you think the big girls will love it? What do you think, Fred?
Oh, big girls do love things like that.
I think so, too. That's impressive, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Very impressive.
Here's my problem. Don't play with your food. Don't put your wiener on bump boards, because John Gillespie would lose his mind if he knew you were playing with your Johnsonville like that.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Anyway, what are you doing, Fred?
Oh, just having a beer at a friend's house, you know, thinking about some open water, which it's going to be a long ways away.
Nice.
Going to be a long ways away for us.
Another month. Too.
Fred's going to help us with some Q&A. Next one up is Luke. We can use Luke. 3 lines per person where I fish. I'm new to trolling and get hopelessly tangled when I'm trolling. What order do you put your rods out with down rods, close rods, and boards? What do you think, Fred? Like when you're trolling more than one line illegally up there, 15. Fred 15 lines Palmero, they call him. He's running.
If I had to throw out a guess, I would have to say I'd start with, if the 15th one is on the inside, I'm going to start with my inside line.
Inside line.
And work them in.
There you go. You know, that's the thing is like, you know, they don't call Fred the scourge of three legs for nothing. but it you know, if you're doing 3 per, get the insides going, get them out there, work the boards out. You know, you can do it out to in, but I like doing like down rods mid and out first, because you usually are at speed. Yeah. Now, the other thing is this, and Fred, you can attest, if you're getting tangled, that means you usually have too much line out and you're turning too tight.
Exactly. So you want to keep those lines short when you got multiple lines out.
Because you're defeating. I mean, if you're trying to do deep, deep, deep 100-foot passes, multi-line tight turns, it's going to be ugly. It just is. It's going to be like freaking kind of gnarly. All right, next up, Robbie. Is live bait worth using in March and April in cold water? Is it just fall, early winter thing? P.S. Can't wait to throw the Titans. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. He says some amazing stuff. He says keep singing them jokes. But what do you guys think about early season? Because March and April, like, you know, that would be like ice out for you guys and some of the south stuff. Like, Fred, what do you think about early season live bait? Because, I mean, think about how many walleye guys are catching muskies on chubs.
You know, I'll tell you right now, if I could keep the suckers alive, I would have, and I had clients in the boat, I would have a sucker out every chance I could, because it just ups your odds.
Yeah, and when water temps are in the 50s, golden. Yeah,
absolutely. You're good to go. 50s, 60s, you know, you start getting up to that 68 mark. That's when you kind of, when it becomes, is it a waste of money to carry a sucker at that point, you know?
Just
you can keep it alive, off you are.
Just a serious question, right? Theoretical, though, Fred, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you had live chubs every day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you name your guide service "I've Got Chub"?
I don't know. I don't know. I've been thinking of a new name for off the hook fishing adventures out of the muskie shop, and you know what? I've got a photo I'll have to send you. It's Master Bait and Tackle.
Oh my goodness. That's
I'm kind of leaning. I might throw the cards in there and
Fred, that's more
my new business cards.
That's more played out than Michael Jackson's Thriller. I'm voting for Bucktalian.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is
you
a
are
good
the
one.
Buck, you are the original Bucktalian, Fred.
The one and only Bucktalian.
If you fish mm-hmm. with Fred, he paints himself purple every guide trip. It's uncomfortable for him, but he's willing to stay in character. All right, Fred, thanks for jumping on. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, man.
See you guys.
All right, the 99 Tiller Killer is the name on this one, Jay. I'm fishing at Creek. Huh?
Creeker.
Creeker. He's a Creeker. It's a 99 Tiller Killer. It goes without saying. Creeker! Mm-hmm. I'm fishing a creek in upstate PA. Water temps are 37 to 39, but I've found warm water, or water as warm as 48, up a small Ooh. Stream coming off a main channel. It's about 2 feet deep, leading into a beaver dam.
Well, that's huge.
Yeah. Would fish run up into that area and take advantage of that slightly warmer water? The beaver dam depth is 3 feet. Yee-yee! He signs it yee-yee, which is classy. That's essentially like a salutation in the South, Jay.
Gotcha.
Like if I gave you a delicious biscuit, you go yee-yee. Yeah, I mean, freaking... Jay, just roll with it. Early season, freaking spring and water temp. Come on, dude.
Yeah, well, that's significant. That, you know, I mean, you got a 10-degree difference you're finding on that. The warm water influxing in there, huge. I'd beat that area to death.
If nothing else, they're going to be more active.
Sure should be.
You might, on occasion, depending on conditions, you might find less fish, but I would rather find less fish that are more active than a bunch of fish that are like negative and neutral.
Yeah, right on.
So, Isaac from Elmer's Attic. I don't know what that means. You guys are they're getting zany, Jay. They're getting zany.
This is some weird stuff going on tonight, isn't
zany.
It?
Zany. That's my best Casey Kasem.
Wacky stuff.
This song goes out to two lovers from Minocqua, Wisconsin. Says Isaiah from Elmer's Attic. Well, I'm glad you escaped Elmer's Attic. That might be the next movie we make, Escape from Elmer's Attic.
Well, I have had some requests to send Elmer on another quest for certain things, so we'll see what we can come up with.
Elmer Jensen's quest for...
I don't know.
Children. Escape from Elmer's Attic. Anyway, can't wait for the batch this summer. Last year it was amazing. My question is, how do you go about choosing the color of a bait to throw? Do you choose based off of conditions, water color, bait, etc., or is color less important than people think? Also, can't wait for the Titan. They're out. Hope you got some. Get some! And he says, he signs it off, thank you, Father Steve and Reverend Jay.
Nice.
Well, you've come to the Church of Muskie Fishing, boys. Here's the deal.
Yep.
So let's break this down a little bit.
Break it down.
Choose the bait off of conditions, right? Water color, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So, not all of us have every bait color in the boat. I don't. I definitely don't. So, we're going to make do with what we got. What I like to have with any bait is a dark and a light, right? So color to me is a tertiary thought. So
here's mine.
Huh?
You had two. I have three. Light, dark, natural.
Well, true. Fair enough. You work at the muskie shop. You know,
well, what are you going to do? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? Jay can just grab them off the wall. Me, slaving for them. As I sit in my room full of 5,000 musky baits hanging on the wall. The deal with bait selection, in my boat, I've got a plethora of baits, but you got to realize, like, I might have 10 slammer 7 inches in the boat, but they're all duplicates because if I got a hot color, a hot size bait, I need two or three or four for every bait I got in the boat.
Yes.
So... action, size, profile, way more than color, right? I've caught plenty of fish on bright baits on bright days, dark baits, it doesn't matter. Let color be the last facet. So seasonality is often a game of size, right? So the earlier it is, post-spawn, small to big, right? We're going from the tiny little rattle traps up to a freaking pounder. So the earlier in the season is smaller baits. Later in the season, big baits. It's a cycle. You guys know it. Love it. Live it. So if I have a limited selection of baits in the boat, I'm not going to worry about color because I'm going to focus on the right action, size, profile before color. Now, if you have the luxury of having additional baits, you can worry about color, but just focus on light and dark, light and dark. On the app, there's a color selection chart under the 101. You can check it out there, and it'll give you stained water, blah, 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 water this, water that, water all the other stuff. If you're regularly fishing the same body of water, which I always recommend to learn a body of water, you'll realize that, that you know, it's tannic or it's muddy or it's this, so you need to find baits working that. So don't hang a lot on color, right? Color is less important than anything else. Again, my favorite line in all the episodes of the podcast I've ever said, Jay, you ready? Drum roll, please, Jay. If show colors were so good, they would sell them all year long.
Colin, how true is that?
I'll tell you right now, boys. Just put out 12 colors of Titans, right? And I love them, and they're great. And I picked them. I picked every one of them. There could have been Iceman and Midnight. Big facts. It hurts in the soul, doesn't it? It just does. It just, I mean, it's a fact. No one yet, right? The most authoritative source in the biology of muskies that I'm aware of is Sean Landsman there in Canada, or Jordan Weeks, or all these guys. No one can tell me what colors they can perceive. Rods, cones, cones, rods. No one can tell me.
Yeah, when you look at it that way, I think you're right. And I would classify colors as important. I'm not saying it's not important.
Well, the musky shop.
But the factors you went with a little bit earlier when we started this deal was size would probably be first. Right. I agree. Size is probably the first thing to consider versus color. It's down the line a little bit more than, you know, the other two factors.
Right.
Well, still important. And part of that's confidence too, Steve.
Yeah. Well, and
you know, I mean, if perch pattern's always been good for you, you know, if it is the particular right size bait and right style bait for the conditions, then go with a perch pattern.
Agreed. I mean, it's, but if you don't got it, don't worry about it.
If you don't guide?
If you don't got it. If you don't have it, like, don't like. Johnny Dingus is lighting them up on some color. Man, don't worry about it. Speed. Right?
Speed.
Speed. Size. Profile. Color. I should have said that right. Freaking, I'm a dingus. But you know what I'm saying? Like, don't worry about color. Color is a tertiary freaking concern in my book. You know, I like color as much as anybody else, but there's too many fish that have been caught in black nickel in every condition. Color is a luxury. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah.
You know, so you're telling me Moosehorn Measle is more important than black.
I'm not telling you that.
I know you're not, but I'm just saying theoretically, right?
Are exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So if we got freaking a 12-hour period on the water and you go, they're hitting. Okay, question number one, they're hitting. Holy shit, it's a win. They're actually eating baits. All right. Well,
they're on right now.
They're on.
Everyone's looking for that, and it does happen occasionally.
You know, if you're telling me that Moosehorn Measle color pattern, which is like chartreuse with black dots, which I actually like that color, by the way, but I'm looking at a suic hanging on the wall that's Moosehorn Measle. But you know, if you go like, boys, they're lighting it up, I mean, are they? Does it matter that much? You know, opposed to the way you're working the bait. So action, yeah, speed, right, size, you know, just focus on that. If you have the financial ability to have multiple colors of a bait, cool. You'll see like a little bit of a benefit, but I don't think it's massive.
I think a lot of people are going to say, well, prove me wrong, you know, because this has done this. I mean, I've heard that a million times, and it's like, hey, I'm not, you know, you're not wrong. No. But I think more importantly was the things you just talked about, you know, speed, size, action, you know, presentation on that particular window that opened up, you know.
Well, what people are comfortable with.
Yeah.
There are, like you just said, perch. There are dudes that live on perch baits. There are dudes that live on wallow collar baits. There are black guys, or they're like, everything's black.
Yeah.
Right.
Or the albino thing. A lot of people are fascinated with just plain old white baits right now, you know?
Yeah, whatever.
Not much of a paint job, you know, it's nothing fancy, but
color is
it can be very effective.
Color is a construct of the lure industrial complex.
I suppose.
It is. Just saying it. Big Chungus. Oh my God, everybody is the dumbest freaking. I know what. Do you know what a Big Chungus is, Jay?
Nope.
Big Chungus got smooth brain, he says. Been fishing a section of a river in Illinois since late November. This last week was the first that I noticed any bugs flying around. They were out in full force. I noticed a weird phenomenon with the bugs. Some of the sections of the quarter mile I was fishing had extremely dense clouds of bugs, where others had almost no bugs at all. What kind of factors dictate where these bugs and their densities are higher versus lower along a river section? Does this affect bait fish feeding and therefore musky habits?
Sure.
The stretch of river has a swift center current with narrow adjacent channel. It's roughly 1 to 2 feet deeper at average depth. It extends slowly, moving back. Continue on and on. Big Chungus.
Good info. Yeah.
Bug hatches are money. If you see a bug hatch, that means the food chain in and around that bug hatch is moving.
Just went high.
So if you see like midges, you know, people are like, look at midges and it's super trouty. And trout,
you're right.
Trout go nuts. Trout know when bugs are going to hatch. They know where and when, and they're staged for it. Muskies know where and when the trout will stage. Right? When they're both the same water. That ecosystem works on some rules, and those rules apply. Now, it might be panfish are picking them off. It might be perch are picking them off, yada, yada, yada. But long story short, that ecosystem, there are rules, and the muskies know the rules. So if there's a bug hatch, there are muskies that are counting on their prey to make mistakes because they're feeding on those bugs or somewhere along that food chain. I love it. Like the best days fishing are like, what are all these bugs flying around?
Mm-hmm.
Things are happening, right? Make an assessment, Jay.
Here's another one.
Yeah.
Exactly. Here's another one. Sometimes there's bug hatches going on that you don't see. And if you don't have your electronics going, you know, we get this all the time up here in deep mud flats on some lakes. You get these, I know for sure in the summer, I don't know, you know, specifically what times of the year these things go, but like a lot of times in the midsummer, you get these bug hatches on the bottom and they don't come up very high. So there's this deep activity zone that is absolutely fantastic because walleyes are in there just smoking these things, and pretty cool. You know, we're talking like, you know, 15 feet down.
Well, you've seen
the bug hatches are actually lower than that. But I mean, you know, like the food shelf, you know, is like 15 feet, you know, pretty cool.
I know what you're talking about, which is down in the Madison area, right? Some of the perch stuff.
No, I've seen it up here. Have you? I've seen it up here. Yeah.
Explain, because I was fascinated by that. Explain a little bit in depth what's going on there. Like they're mud bugs or bugs. I don't know what a mud bug is.
Oh, yeah. Sure. What kind of bug is that? Someone's going to have to let me know. I'm spacing out right now on what those were.
That's helpful.
But, yeah,
good job.
Well, I was just citing an example. We were up there. Was out with a buddy once, and you know, he and locator was, you know, he's like, yeah, there's some stuff going on, and we were in a 20-foot mud flat. I mean, detected that with the locator, with you know, the changes in the bottom hardness as we moved into this really deep, large bay, and there was a, you know, distinct line down there, and he started catching walleyes on basically small musky crankbaits with a leader on. Okay, this mm-hmm. is gin clear lake. That does not happen.
Right.
I mean, the walleyes are super line shot. You know, it's like if you aren't using 6-pound test type thing, you're not going to get, you know, look at them. And, you know, there's good, I mean, you know, like 18, 20 inch walleye were cracking this big crankbait. And, but anyway, yeah, these things are coming off the hatch in the bottom, and they come up a little bit, and the walleyes were picking them off. And there's periods, you know, where that goes on for a week, you know.
Mm-hmm. Just being observant, making an assessment.
They're now, not mayflies. It's not a mayfly deal. It's something else.
There's a bunch of different bugs. I mean, you got midges, you got frickin'.
Yeah, I don't know what they are.
Helgramites. I don't know.
Yeah, it could have been that. Yeah.
You read that about traits. Helgramite.
Oh, but, helgramites are good, yeah. You know, perch love those things.
All these different things. So, mm-hmm. you got bugs. I just kicked my laptop over.
Hello.
Hello. The synopsis there, Jay, the bugs is good.
Yeah. Bugs usually is. A lot of people, when the mayfly hatches go on, the thing, especially around here, I don't know if you have that, but it's so extreme at times that there's so many carcasses and dead ones that come up. They are just, they line the shoreline wherever it's windblown. And it's, you know, just this disgusting mat of dead bugs. Mm. And, you know, people are, they basically say the fishing shuts down when there's a heavy mayfly hatch. That's kind of a, I don't know how localized it is, but it's very common around here.
Mayflies are nasty.
Yeah.
That just say bugs is good, Jay.
Well, bugs is good, though.
Bugs is good.
Now, shit, mayflies.
We had the disgusting cicada hatch here.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, that was nasty. And I actually had a reporter call me from like some local news source, like, how will the cicada hatch affect muskies? I was like, I don't really expect muskies to be eating cicadas. However, you know, it just moves the chain.
Yeah.
You know, Jay, it's a football analogy. Just make the plays that move the chains.
Sure, it is a football analogy. Titan.
Greg. Titan. Oop. That was unintentional. I had no thought that the Tennessee Titans, because I'm not a Titans fan. Titans sort of blow.
Actually, the Tube Screamer came up with it.
Jim did name the bait.
Oh, yeah, he did.
I will admit, I was going to name it the Aaron Rodgers.
just didn't roll off the tongue it that nice, you know?
Just didn't.
No.
Had 14 Pepsis. Greg, your thoughts on how far a muskie will travel to spawn. If it wasn't for you, I would be 90%. Oh, he says some nice stuff. He says he wants to come out on a trip someday. You don't have to wait to get schooled up to come out on a trip, Greg. You don't have to wait. We can train you up from a young Padawan to a Jedi muskie master. How far will they travel? I think the answer is this, and it's not to patronize, as far as they need to, right?
Mm.
So I have seen tracking studies. There was a fish that always intrigued me on St. Clair that was traveling like 40 miles, right? This thing was like doing 40-mile rotations.
Just so.
Yeah. And it was funny, his tracking number. I'd have to find the article. It's old school. This years back. Okay. He happened to be 007. So they did like 100 fish, and he was like 007. And this fish was traveling like from St. Clair up the river, back and forth. Like crossing the border every day. No passport because he's fish.
Salmon-like.
Yeah, just running.
Crazy.
Yeah, these things can cruise, man. They can cruise when they need to. So, you know, let's say there's a fish that's living in a main basin and he needs to go to a tributary, whatever that might be. I think really how far they're going to travel is going to be dictated by the forage movements. So if forage doesn't move that far throughout the course of the year, they won't move that far. If forage moves a bunch, they'll travel quite a bit. So I think it's really going to be body of water to body of water, but they're going to travel as far as they need to stay with the forage throughout the course of the year. Ricky Bobby. Everybody's just making up names this episode, Jay. It's getting ridiculous. Hey, guys, listen to the previous podcast with Matt discussing weeds. Talking about retrieving baits and baits running through weeds. Say you're using a bait and you want to be in a near structure to find the nestery baits. Hold on, I'm trying to summarize here. Okay. Going to summarize here. He's saying that, you know, if you're having struggles with baits and weeds, right? Do you switch baits for baits that run better, right? Or do you just grind it out? So if let's say we're fishing tubes, we're fishing dogs, we're fishing blades and weeds.
Okay.
You've had action on one of those. Do you just suffer or do you look for a better option? I'm a sufferer. I'm here to suffer immensely in the world of muskie fishing. Like I've seen muskies hit balls of weeds. Like, oh, it's a tube covered in weeds and they still hit it. What do you think, Jay?
I think it depends on the weed cover. It depends on the area that you're fishing. You know, I think he was referring to Matt. I think I asked Matt about that because I remember him telling me that story years ago when he was fishing pockets, and he was fishing a lure that generally doesn't go through weeds that great, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, not like a, you know, like a Titan or a spinner bait or something like that. You know, that style dive rise mm-hmm. is great as being a weedless presentation, as are a lot of bucktails. You know, and you can control them and keep it high in the water column. And, you know, generally the blades do the work and create a kind of a buffer to that rear hook. You get them through pretty good. But perfect dive rise situation, too. I mean, crankbaits, you know, the King Joe Booker, you know, I mean, deep diving, what they call a deep diving depth rater. I mean, there's no one better than him at working them through mm-hmm. weeds. And that's how he has always used that thing, probably, I don't know, almost most effectively.
Yeah.
As a weed pounding bait, you know, and it's like most people's standard fear of crankbaits aside, you know, fear of trying to utilize them properly are going to look at that as like wrong bait choice in this situation, mm-hmm. but it can be done.
No, I mean, great point is before Big Rubber, Booker was doing it on spinnerbaits. Heyo, unpopular mm-hmm. opinion, big facts. He was. So long before we had tubes or toads or tube toads or tubby toads or tippy tubes, that was it, spinnerbait in the weeds. And you literally would jig it back and you can helicopter it. And that's one thing guys just don't do is helicopter spinnerbaits into pockets. You know how weedless that is?
Stop the bait. Exactly.
Ugh. Oy vey. Caught a lot of fish doing that. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can get a big heavy duty bait, big spinnerbait, add more weight and helicopter it in, put trailers on and all this stuff. But, you know, like you said, if you're struggling with the weeds, the thing is this, if you know what the action is, right? If it's down, up, right? So if it's a 2B thing, like if it's a make contact and it comes up, make contact and it comes up, you could do a top-loaded toad where the hooks are on top of that bait and it's going to get less weeds. If it's sort of a plow thing, like ripping through the weeds and fall, which is like a bulldog rip thing, you could do that with a safety pin spinnerbait and get less foul ups.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's a dog or it's action, right? So you can do a lot of damage that way. Hell, one thing I do, and this is a big ninja secret here, is you'll see these patterns where people are ripping dogs, right? And they're getting fouled up with weeds continually. The Susie Sucker spinnerbait, boys.
Yeah.
And put the hook on top of that thing. Rig it up. Yep. Hit the bottom right. hook. And now you got a spinnerbait dog that's pretty much weedless. Kind of nasty.
Yep. Suic makes that thing. That's an underutilized bait. It's a pretty cool presentation.
And everybody sort of looks at it. Look, it's funny because you look like there's these bulldogs where like, freaking bulldogs with the blade on them. Well, okay. what are we doing? You know? So if you understand what the bite is, you're dialed in enough to understand that it is a up and down presentation with a slow fall or a fast fall or a contact or weed displacement or whatever it is, you can modify from there. So once you're dialed in, tweak from there and make it more efficient. That is the way to catch more fish. Now, if you're just searching, if you don't know the bite, you might suffer. But as you dial it in, you go, I can tweak this thing and make it a little bit easier. Jordan, me and my friends have 7 days in late July to go on a muskie hunt anywhere in the U.S. Originally, we thought about Leech Lake, but we're undecided. Looking to have a good shot at some giants. Where do you recommend? I've sworn off St. Clair any time after May due to yachts and idiots. Whew. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, heck. I mean, some of those lakes in Minnesota, you're not in a really overly windy period. You know, if you're gonna pick a time of the year, July would be a safer bet that you won't be blown off the water, at least.
Right.
Some massive fish.
I mean, but do you go? You know,
do you go to somewhere like my neck of the woods that has 16,000 lakes in a 2-county radius that you can choose and have fun by, you know, really exploring different lakes every day?
The question is, what's a giant, right? So let's say we're going 50 inches plus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, and that's the bar. Like we're going 50 inch plus, and that's what we're looking for. I would go, I'm telling you, probably not the most popular opinion. I go the UP.
There's low pressure.
There's nobody up there.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a soul. It'd be insanely cheap to go up there. And if you're like, I want to chase nothing but big fish, Zisco chain, some of this stuff has monsters in it with little to no pressure. Now, if you need to boat some fish and you want a shot at 50-inch fish, northern Wisconsin. But the UP is just money. Excuse me. It's money water, but it's just left alone wholly. Right? St. Clair is a cluster. I personally... I'm not a St. Clair guy. I don't want to fish with me and my 50 best friends. Right? Like, oh, hey, everybody's out here. You know, I've seen it up there where there's like 30 guys fishing from the bank. Like you pull into a channel, it's like, oh, baits pounding from the bank. Come on.
Yeah, everyone's got a different setup, a little different outlook on aesthetically what they want to, you know.
If I'm going musky fishing, I don't want to see anybody and I want it to be pretty. That's what I'm about. I don't want to freaking look at some burning tire factory in Detroit.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you stayed in Eagle River, Wisconsin, for example, I mean, you could be in the UP in less than 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And still have all those lakes around, you know, Eagle River, St. Germain, Three Lakes, tons of them.
You know, Leech, Bemidji, Cass, they see boats. I don't think as many as people think. But that's some big boy water. I think it'd be harder to break down. That's just my take. Like if you're like, okay, big fish, big stupid fish. I still think the Northwoods of Wisconsin are full of big stupid fish. If you're a bucktail or topwater, you might not agree. But if you're willing to do other stuff, you can find some big fish. But with that being said, if those fish, if there's still dumb fish there, the UP sort of wide open. You know, as far as one of those areas that's like, I mean, the other thing is this, the UP's year round. The second you can get a line in the water, you can fish it. That's one thing, you know, Michigan's sort of wide open there. So that would be my take, whatever's worth. Last one, Dave, as a supplement to your structure fishing podcast, I suggest listening to Buck Perry's 9-volume advanced material. Okay, absolutely. I that's where I stole most of my ideas. There's sources. He's talking about, there's a guy named Don Dixon. Don Dixon's awesome. Don is, I don't know Don, but God, he's good.
Yeah, I watched some of his videos. Yeah,
Don Dixon has structure fishing videos on YouTube. I don't affiliate with him. I'm not like advocating for Don Dixon or brands. He whatever, but he knows where the bodies are buried. He's good. You know, this guy goes on and continues, says the home of mature fish is deep water, and once or twice they make the movement. Yep. Most people when fishing for muskies are always up in the shallows casting to the banks. Yep, we talked about that. And basically he's just agreeing with what we're talking about, structure fishing. So there are other resources in structure fishing, which is Buck Perry, Don Dixon. Buck Perry was, I believe, a physicist, pretty sharp guy. And Don Dixon was one of his freaking disciples, and really ran a lot of his classes way before I was born back in the day. But Don is, I would guess, in his 70s and has some YouTube videos, and they get pretty in depth. He's got like some YouTube videos on structure fishing, like an hour and a half long. Anything that Buck Perry says and Don Dixon says, you can take it to the bank. I mean, that's just it. Those classes. Muskie Shop, you guys used to sell the Buck Perry stuff. Back in the day.
Yeah,
but
we used to,
A lot of it's outdated. But, you know, a lot of my concepts in structure fishing have come from that. You know, I've made some adjustments for muskie fishing. But Don Dixon's absolutely an authoritative source. Booker once told me, he said, you know, the corollary between... like the Lindners and Jimmy Houston himself, Babe Winkleman, you name them, right? All these guys, Bill Dance, they all bought into the Buck Perry thing.
Yeah, right. I've heard
they all
that
did,
too.
Yeah. And if you looked at like the top dogs in the late 70s, 80s, and 90s, like they're fishing structure and everybody else is fishing a feeling. And you always said, what's the Lindner thing, Jay, about fishing a feeling?
Don't let luck or feeling determine your fishing success.
Oh, God, Jay. You do a pretty mean Al Lindner.
Well, yeah.
Give me the Berkeley Power Bait, Al Lindner.
Berkeley Power Bait, outfishing live bait, 2-1. You should have seen the look on their faces when I hauled in that baby.
Anyway, this is the worst podcast ever. We tried to cover it. Guys.
It's right up there.
It's right up there. Guys, thank you again for the Titans.
Berkeley
Power Bait outfished them 3-1. Holy shnikes. We spent way too long on somebody's like filthy bump board question, which is funny. I'm going to have Pete Maina come on the podcast and like demean him for using a bump board.
Yeah, see how that goes.
I hear you. For any fish or anything regarding a bump board. Bad.
Squirrels.
Launching squirrels. Anyway, Jaybird, say goodnight.
Goodnight, guys.